I mentioned in my session yesterday, can you hear me in the back all right? You can't tell from up here if you're loud or quiet. You can hear all right? Thanks. I mentioned yesterday in my session the Zoe Ministries Growing Deeper Spirituality Program. And I want to mention that again today. I'm going to leave these brochures up here on the stage. You can come take one if you'd like. If they run out, then come see me or go over to the Zoe booth and grab one of those. It's a really neat program designed to help people grow in their prayer life and learn about prayer. You receive mentoring from people who have been praying for a long time. And you're sort of thrust into a community of others who have an interest in prayer. I really want to encourage you about that. If you're inclined at all to do that, to come ask me questions about it or get one of these brochures. It is one of a few things that have really been an important turning point in my life. Okay? I just wanted to recap two things, maybe two things, might be more if I remember them as I'm talking, about yesterday. I said lots of stuff yesterday that wasn't all that important, but I did say two things that I think are really important in our prayer life as we attempt to practice silence before God. As we sit with Him and before Him and all of life is put back into its right place. He is Lord, we are His children. A couple of things about silence that are true that when they go unnoticed cause our time of silence with Him to be really difficult. And those things are that silence is not all about listening. I suggested yesterday that we are so addicted to noise. Noise even within our hearts and minds that when we go to silence with God, we can't stand the silence and the stillness so much that we expect for God to fill it with His noise. And so we started calling silence listening. There are times for listening, and sometimes there are moments of listening within silence. But silence with God is not all about listening. Sometimes it's just right to be with God. That's it. Not coming away with a outstanding word to share with everyone else. Not coming away with a new vision or a new direction or a rebuke or a revelation about a sin. All of those things happen. But sometimes it's right just to sit with God. And I suggested that God absolutely loves that. Like the mother feeding the child and the child is full and he lays his head on his mother's breast. And they are silent together. Who loves that moment more, the child or the mother? I'm suggesting that it's the mother. Okay, that was one thing. And the other thing yesterday that I suggested I wanted to repeat this morning, and that is that as we attempt to find silence in our hearts and in our minds, that is such an important aspect of being good ministers to others. And one of the reasons is that the noise of our own pain causes us to be unable to hear God's voice. We all have pain in our lives, some of us more than others. And our pain makes a lot of noise. And we make a lot of noise about our pain. We talk about it all the time. And when we're not talking about it, we're thinking about it, and we're chewing on it, and we're wrestling with it. And before we know it, years have gone by and our lives have been filled with the noise of our own pain. I'm not trying to suggest that your pain isn't legitimate. I think that I know that it is, and I know that it's real, and I also know that God uses your pain. But the noise of your pain isn't the center of the universe. God is. If we can learn in silence with God to also set aside our own pain and our own wants and struggles, and be still and silent with Him, we just might hear Him crying for others who are in pain. I suggested yesterday that I often have people in my office making noise about their pain. And I want to hear it because I want to walk with them. But sometimes, with visit after visit after visit after visit, I want to say, did you know, by the way, that there are other people hurting? And they are hurting just as much as you are. If you would set that aside for a moment, you might hear them or God or both crying. Okay, that was yesterday, though. Shame on you for not coming if you didn't come. You Wallingites. You know who you are. Okay, today I want to do something just a little bit more practical and talk about based on my own journey. So I know there's a lot to add and maybe some to take away from this. Talk about our journey of prayer and some ways that we can learn to love prayer. I'll just confess that I grew up in a home where people prayed all the time. And when they weren't praying, they were talking about prayer. I was just a lucky person to grow up in a home where mom and dad loved to pray and they talked about it all the time. And I knew that it was a good thing, but I didn't love to do it. Is anybody else that way? I didn't love to do it. And in ministry, I knew that it was right. And occasionally I would learn things about prayer, but I still hadn't turned the corner where I loved God in prayer. I loved to be with Him in prayer and in silence. I loved to meet Him in the morning and meet Him at noon and meet Him at the nighttime. That's what drove me and that was a part of my heart. Okay, so one of the reasons that I believe it was difficult for me is there are just some things about prayer and connecting with God that I needed to sort out. So I'm going to share some things that I have sorted out and see if it doesn't bless you along the way in your journey, all right? I want to begin with changing your goals in prayer. Now, we could do a whole lesson just on that, but I'm going to name two things about changing your goals. Taking it from, I want to pray more, which is an okay goal to have, by the way. Sometimes that's our New Year's resolution. I want to pray more. And while that's an okay goal, there are better goals to have that find themselves at the heart of prayer. All right, two things. One, I want to know God well. Instead of saying I want to pray more, I say I want to know God well. And the second thing is, I want to know Him often. All right? The first one, I want to know God well. You remember this psalm, Psalm 73? It's one of my two favorite psalms. The psalmist in the first two-thirds of the psalm is complaining that the Lord is unfair. That the wicked people have been blessed. And that he, the righteous servant of God, has experienced nothing but suffering. A number of the psalms are this way. And then at the end of the psalm, he comes to this conclusion that all of the perceived blessings of those that are wicked are nothing in comparison to being in the presence of God and knowing Him. And there's this beautiful section in the psalm where he says, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You will destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I love that phrase in the Psalm 73. It is good to be near God. Some of your versions might say, the nearness of God is my good. Okay, so here's what I wanted to encourage you to do. I want to really try and be practical this morning. And what I wanted to encourage you to do is to begin to pray this prayer if you struggle with prayer. All right? If you struggle with prayer, then I want to encourage you to begin with this prayer. Lord, help me to want you. This is the thing about God. He is really gracious when we are unfair. When I was at the age and was single and was dating, Well, I should say that another way. When everyone else was dating and I was supposed to be, I didn't do it very much because I hated rejection. I never wanted a girl to say no when I asked them on a date. And I assure you, if I ever asked a girl out, except for my wife, this happened with her, but any other girl, if I ever asked a girl out and she said no, that would be the last time I ever asked her out. Because I don't enjoy rejection. There wasn't ever a girl that I wanted to say, would you go on a date with me, and she say no, and I pursue her more. Some of you guys were that way. You were called annoying. I had an older sister. I know how girls talked about you guys. I was never the type that wanted to pursue a girl and say, no, really, would you spend time with me? Would you have a relationship with me? Here's what I have to offer. Here are the things about me that you might enjoy. That would be such a humbling posture, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be sort of me surrendering all of me and lifting you up on a pedestal? And yet, this is what God does. God pursues people and pursues them until their dying day with the hope that they will one day turn and say, yes, okay, yes. He is really gracious in our unfairness, and so he receives this prayer. It seems very unfair to say it, but he receives it. God, I don't enjoy spending time with you. Would you change my heart and help me to want you? I want to suggest for you, if you came here this morning and you really struggle with prayer, that that could be a turning point in your life. That God would bless that. He would bless that part of your heart that would be willing to say, I really struggle with that, and you're invisible, and you don't say a lot, and you're hard to be with, but I've always wanted to be the kind of person that wants to be with you. I've always wanted to want. Could you change my heart and make me like that? I believe that he would begin to do that in your life. Changing your goals from I want to pray more to I want to know God well. I want to want God. And then the other goal, I want to know God often. Look in 2 Thessalonians, or 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. These two short verses, verse 16 and 17. Be joyful always. Pray continually. That word might be ceaselessly in some of your versions. Ceaseless prayer. What could Paul have possibly meant by praying always? Praying ceaselessly, more than continually, praying always. Always, continually is sort of a sorry word to insert there. Ceaselessly is more powerful, isn't it? Pray ceaselessly. Make this a part of the way that you live and breathe. Okay, I wanted to suggest this morning, too, that asking God to change your heart is a turning point. And then changing your goal from, I want to pray more, to, I want to be a person who always prays, is a significant change. It is equal to saying, I want to lose a few pounds versus I want to be a healthy person. I want to lose a few pounds will be back again next year and again the year after that. And don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. I can see you from here. That goal recurs every year. There's nothing wrong with that goal. I want to lose a few pounds. But it's falling short of something much richer than that. I want to lose a few pounds is actually very painful. It's no fun at all. I want to be healthy is full of all sorts of joys that are not present, and I want to lose a few pounds. Okay, I think that there's the difference between I want to pray more and I want to not ever stop praying. What would that be like? What would that be like if you were the kind of person that never stopped praying? That as much as you breathed, the name of Jesus was on your breath. That this was the way you were. It was a part of who you were deep within. You are connected to God. You breathe Him in and out as each day goes on, minute by minute. Now, there are a lot of things that go into becoming a kind of person who prays without ceasing, but just setting that as your goal is life-changing, I think. It brings in, this goal brings God into the center stage rather than an item on the calendar or the agenda for the day. Okay, so two new goals. I want to know God well, and I want to know God often. Okay, now what I want to do is talk about a couple of different ways of connecting with God. And by that I mean different ways to pray. I honestly didn't know. You're going to think that I'm foolish, but I didn't know that there are numerous ways to connect with God in prayer. And that as your, or maybe I just didn't know how to translate that into my own life. That as your personality goes, and as your character goes, and as your life goes, so prayer can sort of fit into your person and who you are. If you're really creative, prayer can be really creative. If you're really analytical, there are other ways of praying for you. That there are many, many ways of connecting with God. And it was a real gift for me that was a part of this Zoe program to learn some new ways of praying and connecting with God that started to stir up joy in me. That started to make me really want to go meet Him. When I was a kid, Dad, who's sitting over here, used to drag Tim and I to Sunday afternoon prayer meetings. All right, well, that's a really good thing to do. I mean, I drag my boys to Saturday morning prayer breakfasts, right? And then every Saturday on the drive home, they remember, oh, that's why I didn't want to go to that. Right? They forget up to the point, and then when breakfast is over and we start praying, they remember, oh, yeah, I got to remember that next time we have prayer breakfast. We used to have prayer meetings on Sunday afternoons, and we would sit in a circle on these cold folding chairs, and men who could pray for a really, really long time would go one after the other praying. And we were expected to be a part of that prayer, which meant we had to pay attention and be ready to pray when it was our turn. So there was no nodding off. You didn't want to be caught by Terry Rush nodding off when it was your turn to pray, you know? In those prayers, all of those prayers were the same because it was a corporate prayer. We were praying together, so we were speaking a common language. I didn't know till much later that there were other ways for me to connect with God than, dear Lord, please, thank you, be with, amen. Okay, so I want to throw out some other ways of connecting with God. You've discovered some already and may not have designated those as prayer. And when you begin to designate those as prayer, they might really bless you. I want to begin with something called breath prayer. How many of you have ever heard of that before, breath prayer? Now, some of you might do it and just don't know that you do. There are many different ways to do breath prayer. I'm going to share with you a way that I think is significant. A breath prayer is a prayer that can be said in a breath. All right, so that's easy to remember, right? It's a prayer that can be breathed in and out. And it is closely linked to this desire towards ceaseless prayer. It's a prayer that's helpful in ushering us into the constant presence of God, living a prayerful life. It's one that you can breathe in and breathe out. It can be a praise. You can designate today or this month, my breath prayer is, Lord, you are beautiful. You can say that in a breath. And you commit yourself to praying that prayer certain times during the day or as often as you think of it for as long as you can think of it. For a period of time, my breath prayer was, Jesus, I trust you. And that was what I breathed in and out day after day. Okay, well, there's a process that you can go through to come up with your own breath prayer. And I think that this is going to be really significant, so I wanted to share it with you this morning. If you would find some time to be with God, spend some moments with Him, and allow God to ask you the question, Gerald, What do you want me to do for you? That's God's question to you as he calls out your name. He's not going to call you Gerald, by the way. Whatever your name is, he'll call you. What is it that you want me to do for you? All right, now your answer to that question is your breath prayer. But what you want to do is when you have an answer to that question, you can sum it up in one phrase that flows nicely. Now you want to really wrestle with that answer because we're not always super duper deep people, okay? So when I did this with God one time, I received this question, Dusty, what do you want me to do for you? And my answer was, I want you to make me a good preacher. So my breath prayer was, Jesus, give me the gift of preaching. That was my breath prayer. That's okay, isn't it? It's okay, but there's something deeper than that. And so taking that breath prayer and praying it, I began to wrestle with God. Okay, God, asking him questions and asking me questions. What's deeper than that? Why was that the first answer? Is there something that is sort of the core of what you are doing in me and what you've called me to that runs deeper than being a good preacher? And it wasn't very long before I changed it to, Lord, make me a good minister, right? That's broader and a little bit deeper. But then it went a little bit deeper than that, than making me a good preacher or a good minister. As I wrestled with God, I realized that one of my core struggles is that I really want to be useful for God. I call it preaching or ministry, but those are restrictive. What I really want in my better moments are that at the end of my life, I will have been useful for God. Whatever it is that I'm doing, he will have used me. So now my prayer is going deeper. My breath prayer is, Lord, use me. It's gotten more deep and shorter. Just use me, Lord. Use me in whatever way. Well, it went deeper than that, though. I wrestled some more with him and wrestled with those words. I began to discover that one of the reasons, of many reasons, that I really wanted to be useful for God is because I have always wanted God to like me. Not just love me, like me. Find favor with me. He has to love me. He's God. That's what he does. But I wanted him to look at me the way that he looks at some of you and the way that he looked at David when he said, now there is a boy after my own heart. I've always really wanted that, really deep within me, for God to really like me and like what I do for him and with him. So now the prayer has become, God, love me. Well, that doesn't mean anything to you except that I just told you the process. If I said, okay, I want you to leave here today and I want your breath prayer to be, God, love me. That doesn't mean anything to you. That was my journey. But what happens now is that as I breathe God in and out every moment of the day, and when I am in the in-between meetings and someone has just left my office and someone else is just coming in, and I whisper the words as they're coming into the office, God, love me today. All of a sudden, this deep well of information and desire rises to the surface, and I have just prayed an hour's worth of prayer with God. I am breathing him in and out. You see? You see what I mean by that? That phrase that designates, this is who I am in this part of my journey, and this is where I am with God, and this is all that I want for him and from him in a breath. God is fully present in the moment, rushing to the forefront of my mind and heart are the deep desire to please God with all of who I am, breathing him in and out day after day. We have taught this to our children and encouraged them to come up with their own breath prayer. Our oldest child started fifth grade this year, going into a really big school. It's like a high school where they travel from class to class. It's not like elementary school anymore. And so her breath prayer was, Lord, make me brave. I love that. She prays it all the time. Every now and then she'll come home and say, Dad, I prayed today. I prayed my breath prayer. When did you pray it? Well, in between class or at recess, breathing him in and out as the day goes on. That's good, isn't it? A way to pursue walking with God in ways that we haven't done it before. Some people designate specific times that they're going to say their breath prayer. Every time that they look at their watch. Every time that there's a major turn in the day. Waking in the morning, going to work, going to lunch, going home, going to bed. Every hour on the hour. Whatever it is for you. Or just when you are mindful of God. Breathing Him in and out. Allowing Him to be a part, a significant part of your life. Okay, that's one different way of connecting with God. Let me share another one. And this one comes directly from the Rush House growing up. This was in really good ways drilled into our brains. And it's become a significant part of prayer for me. And that is practicing the discipline of thankful praying. I want to say this in a way that would really connect with you, and I can't figure out what that way would be. So I'm going to have to hope that God does it for you. There is a gift in the discipline of thankful prayer. If you would commit yourself to rising in the morning, or when you recline at night, or at some point in the day and every moment in between, before you ever offer any kind of word of request, you bathe God in thanksgiving for whatever the request is. If you would make that your habit, I will never request anything from God until I have thanked Him first. Not just thanked Him, but thanked Him for what I'm about to request. Your life would be changed. This passage in 2 Thessalonians, not just ceaseless prayer, Paul encourages us to, but ceaselessly offering thanksgiving in prayer. He says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. These are not separate charges. These are blended together. This is what your life, your words, and your posture are supposed to be. Full, drenched, bathed in thanksgiving. I have committed myself, and sometimes I break my rules. But you don't know, because you're not there, so. Always thanking God before requesting anything. In the morning time when I pray for my church, and I'm going to talk about him in a minute, but when that elder comes to mind, the one that I have a lot of requests about, that I might not say the same way if he were in the room. And instead of mulling over my difficulties with him, instead of in an anxious way pleading God to change him or make him leave, instead of any of those things, beginning with thanksgiving. And searching until I find the reason for thanksgiving. And before I go on any further, I'm finding the reason for thanksgiving. Changes the way I pray for my brother. I kneel down and I begin to pray for him, and the emotions begin to rise and the blood begins to boil. And I say, God, thank you for his presence in my life. Thank you for the fact that I would not be who I am if it were not for his presence in my life. Thank you for how you have blessed me and this church through him, even through his difficulties. Thank you for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Guess what happens to me? I am much less anxious and worried about what God is going to do with him. I'm going to talk about it in a minute. I grow to love him. Because I said yesterday in our session, vision is everything. And thanksgiving gives birth to vision. Now I have spoken out loud what God is up to. He is using this man, whether I like it or not. And he is supposed to be in my life. And offering thanksgiving now opens our eyes to what God is doing in the present. Okay. Man, oh man. Who shortened the speaking times this year anyway? Yeah. I have to go home later, so I won't keep preaching. Okay, breath prayer, prayers of thanksgiving. I have several here I'm trying to pick. Let me just mention one just real briefly and won't go into it very long. And then I want to talk a little bit about the rewards of connecting with God in a ceaseless manner. And that is using the Bible in your prayers. Sometimes we Protestants feel like prayer is only legitimate if it is our own words. And therefore, I think sometimes experience greater times of dryness in our prayer because we're relying on our own ability to formulate fruitful and fresh words with God instead of relying on the scriptures and the prayers of others. I really believe in that, in praying the prayers of others. Whether when they said it or wrote it, it was a prayer or not, taking those words and owning them and making them your habitual prayer and allowing those words, just like a breath prayer, to go into your mind and to your heart and deeper until they become a living part of your relationship with God. And I want to suggest that there are a number of ways of using the scriptures to pray. The simplest is reading the scriptures and pausing to pray and dialogue with God about what you're reading. Instead of using them to formulate a lesson only, read them slowly, sit for a moment, and let them linger, read them again slowly, sit for a moment and let them linger, and then talk with God about what you've just read. Commit yourself to stopping there. No more reading, no more studying. You're going to chew on those words for the rest of the week. This is hard for us Church of Christers because we are cross-referencers, right? Somebody in this audience is ticked off that I have only read two passages today. We think that bulk is more important than depth sometimes. Sometimes we need to rest in that one short phrase. Pray continually for a month before we ever read another word. And we need to find the God who wrote those words. So working through the scriptures, dialoguing with God about the words that he has offered to us. And there's another way that I'm going to try and suggest, and I don't know how well I can do this in 1 minute, but there's a thing called biblical imaging or biblically guided prayer. Jason Thornton offered two sessions this week. Did any of you go to Jason's sessions? Did you love it? There are many different ways to do this, but you can do this on your own. Pick a narrative in the scriptures that is really significant to you. I think Jason did Zacchaeus, which is my all-time favorite narrative in all of the scriptures. It's not because he's a wee little man, all right? I love Zacchaeus. And so I go to the story of Zacchaeus, and I walk with Zacchaeus through the story. I walk with him to the tree. I spend some time with him being the dirty, rotten tax collector before we ever get to the tree. And I own the burdens of his sin and the loneliness that is the product of his sin. And I climb up into that tree with Zacchaeus and I sit there with him. And I, too, long to be with the Savior who is loving all of the people that I have hurt and that I have damaged, and I am there with him in the tree, and I am wondering and fearful that he might notice me, and wondering what he might say to me if he notices me and sees all of the sins that are around me and on me and in me. And I experience the Savior coming to me and saying, not Zacchaeus, but Dusty, I must be with you. And I go to him, and I am with him. And in that, pray through this beautiful narrative. Whatever scripture, it doesn't have to be a narrative, whatever passages speak to you, it's possible that the Holy Spirit is involved in that, folks. And that is a word that God has given to you, and learning to pray through those words and making that a part of your habit. There were a couple of months where me and Zacchaeus were in that tree every morning together. The story never got old. We both got taller. And because it's my imagination and not yours. All right? Okay, I want to say one more thing because we have 1 minute. Actually, 30 seconds. And I wanted to mention a number of other blessings, but I do want to mention this one thing. I've already referred to it in mentioning that elder and praying thanksgiving. In your discipline of prayer and wanting to becoming prayerful people, I want to repeat this encouragement that is offered in the scriptures that you know well, that you've heard a number of times, but that I have only recently come to experience the true blessedness and peace that is offered in this practice. Pray for your enemies. If you would, I guess that means our time is up, huh? If you would pray for your enemies before you pray for yourself, God just might make you love your enemies more than you love yourself. That is a miraculous blessing that only God can do. Okay, thanks for coming this morning.